Welcome to our final sermon in our sermon series entitled, Jesus' Greatest Stories. Today's sermon title, A Strong Foundation. Open your Bible to Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, and let's begin.
Who's the smartest person you know? Who's the person who, when you're looking for a piece of information, you know to turn to? You see, for each of us, we have the ability to understand that there is a difference between someone who has a lot of knowledge, someone who knows a lot of facts and is quick with a buzzer, right? And someone who has genuine wisdom of life that makes their life better and richer and more meaningful. When we think of the smartest people that we know, some of them fit both categories. But there are some people in our lives that we look to and we see that their life character is defined by a depth of genuine wisdom that makes their life worth emulating. When they talk, we listen. When we hear what they think is best, we're quick to put that into action. And this morning, we're going to spend a few minutes looking at the last story in this summer series we've been going through. And we're going to unlock what it means for us to not just be smart, not just know all the answers, not just know a lot of life stuff, but actually live lives that are characterized by a depth of wisdom that can be the foundation for us reaching the potential that we all know God has for each of us. Have you guys been enjoying this sermon series? We've been looking at these different parables of Jesus, and it's been kind of fun to do the musical preachers thing. We saved the best looking for last. I got an amen from my wife. Bam! Yeah! Thanks, babe. Next week, Doc is going to be back, and he's going to launch a new series for us that you guys are really going to love as we kind of finish out these summer months. But today, I want to look at a story that comes up in Matthew chapter 7, and it's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There's this big extended message that Christ shares, and as he shares this message and he comes to the end of this message, this is what he says. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, they will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. But the house didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who's built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it." You see, when Jesus spoke, he knew there were lots of people in his audience. He knew there were some people who were super religious, who were super anxious to hear what this great teacher had to say. They jotted down each and every word of it. They flipped open their Bible app and they made notes. I don't think they had the Bible app back then. Just kidding. However they wrote down notes, they did it. And he knew that there were other people. People who wanted more than just facts. People who wanted more than just to be good at a Bible trivia game. People who wanted something deeper than just interesting information and clever stories. In this verse, he talks about two kinds of people. He talks about hearers, these people who have this assumed knowledge. They've heard a bunch of stuff. They've accumulated a lot of information, but that's as far as it's gone. He talks about the doers. He talks about the people who hear great advice, who are exposed to a tremendous life lesson, and they're not content just to hear it, but they want to put it into practice because they know that they've got the chance to live their lives differently because of what they've heard. Friends, this happens to us all the time. We hear great information. But if you're anything like me, too often, all you do is hear it. Think of this past series of sermons we've been in. Over these past 8-7 weeks, we've heard story after story where life principles have come our way. And each and every morning we sit here and we go, man, that's a really good idea. I should do that. And then we go out for lunch, and then we cut the grass, and then the Indians are on, so we watch a game, and we go to bed, and Monday morning we go to work, and it's Thursday, and we're like, man, there was something good I was supposed to do when I talked about that on Sunday, right? But do we do it? Not as often as we'd like, right? In this series, we've talked about our persistence in growing our faith. A couple weeks ago, I remember Pastor Chet's lesson. He talked about these gifts that we've been entrusted with and how we're investing them, how we're using them to advance the kingdom. I remember walking out of there saying, yes, I want to do that. But it's been 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm not sure that I've actually done that the way I intended to, right? Just last week, we talked about forgiveness and the value of forgiving others. And yet, in spite of our best intentions, too often we end up falling into the same boat of just being hearers instead of being doers. And try as we might to look smart or feel good about ourselves, if that's as far as it goes in our lives, it doesn't make the difference that God's calling each of us to make with our lives. Friends, as I look at this scripture verse, I think that there's three key ideas that we can take with us. There's three things that we can kind of unpack from this text. And the first one is this: our lives need to be built on a foundation of what I'm going to call life application. We need to have our lives founded on something more than just the knowledge we get. We need to found our lives on how we apply what we learn from Christ. As I look at this verse, I think that there's two key ideas. And, you know, Christ talks about these two builders, and the smart one, the wise one, he realizes the importance of a foundation, right? I don't know if we got many contractors in the room, but whether you've built a skyscraper or a doghouse, you know if the foundation's not good, the project's not good, right? The importance of the foundation can't be overstated. Matter of fact, it's really interesting because in the first century, especially in this area where Christ was teaching, he's kind of on the northeast edge of the Sea of Galilee, and people are kind of gathered there. And the way the water would define the shoreline there during the summer months, it was real sandy and it would get real dry, and it would look like it was rock, like it was stable, like you could build on it. But then what would happen is in the fall time, it would get rainy, and through the winter, it would get wet, and you'd realize that what you built on, while you thought it was strong, it was really just sand. And as Jesus talks about the value of a foundation, he's saying you can't just build on what looks good, you've got to build on what is good, where there's strength and stability to build on. Archaeologists dig in this area, and they see that some buildings were built 10, 14 feet below grade. And, you know, without rebar and cement and, you know, bobcats and stuff, that was a project. And they would realize the value in building on a strong foundation. We've been experiencing this a little bit. I'm helping to lead the team that's working on this New Horizons partnership. We're in the process. It's been a longer process than we anticipated, but we're in the process of remodeling a home for a mom transitioning out of homelessness. And we looked at a house just last week, and it's a really cool house. It's got some cool potential to it. But as you walk, you can kind of feel the ground kind of waving a little bit, you know? And you realize, man, the kitchen's a little ugly and the wallpaper needs torn down, but we can take care of that. One thing we can't fix is a crummy foundation, right? We got some engineer guy. He's going in there tomorrow. He's going to figure it out. We'll figure it out. But it'd sure be a lot easier if that was done right, wouldn't it? The same's true in our lives. The importance of the foundation that our lives are built on can't be understated. The other thing that I think we see in this verse is this isn't just a matter of real estate. This isn't just a matter of pick a good spot to build your house. It's not like, oh, over here, the foundation would be good, so we'll build here, but over there, the foundation's bad. Ultimately, this message talks about the hard work it takes to build a strong foundation. Matter of fact, Luke records the Sermon on the Mount as well as Matthew, and in this spot where he talks about it, he says it this way. He says, the wise man, the one who not only hears but does Christ's word, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. It's not that he was smart and he picked the right spot. It wasn't that he got all the breaks and ended up with a nicer piece of property. It isn't like in our lives, oh, so-and-so's life experience was just a little easier, a little better. They had a little bit more advantage than I had. They lucked out, and that's how they built a strong foundation. No. Regardless of where those builders built, the wise one was the one who put in the hard work to build his house on a foundation that was strong enough for the difficult things that life brought his way. And that's what Christ is calling you and I to do. He's calling you and I to do the hard work of actually building our lives on applying his teaching. There's not a lot of glamour. There's not a lot of progress shown in good foundation work. When we were watching them build out phase two, it seemed like they were digging and pouring cement forever just to get to the ground. I'm like, we started there. You could have started building stuff already. Come on, guys. But it's in that hard work. It's in that steady commitment to applying Christ's principles that we build the foundation that defines our lives. We know this is true in every area of our lives, right? The areas where you invest, the areas where you put in the hard work are the areas where you're most successful. People who work hard to get certain training and certain job skills and certain workplace experiences, well, what happens? They're more effective, aren't they? We see this for people with relationships. Man, when you invest in that relationship, when you put in the hard work of building a healthy relationship, it goes better for you, right? Shameless plug, our marriage team believes this to their core, and they always want to put events out for couples. Here's the deal, couples. When you're frustrated with each other, it's a lousy time to say, hey, how about a date night? It's not going to go good. But if we put in the hard work to build into those relationships, like buying tickets for Blossom next Sunday night, you build the life patterns that give you a strong foundation. It's true in every area of our lives. When we're not just hearers, but we're doers, we have life patterns that give us the chance to grow into a measure of strength. And that's what I want for my life. You see, far too often, I settle for just being a hearer. Far too often, I buy a book but never get around to reading it, right? I subscribe to a podcast, but I never get a chance to listen to it. I hear a sermon on the weekend. I listen to a preacher on the radio. I hear a great idea at a Bible study I go to. But I never get around to actually putting it into practice in my life. And it falls flat. It doesn't give me the foundation that I need. You know, for us at Christ Church, one of the things that really drives our commitment to our life group strategy is this belief. You see, we believe that just hearing isn't enough. We need to be in relationships with other people who are going to help us connect with those ideas in ways where we will become doers. Each and every week, there are hundreds of people who get together in groups and they revisit what they heard on the weekend. They talk more about the principles that they heard on Sunday or on Saturday night, and they encourage one another in how they can actually put those into practice. We have people who are building relationships, discipling, mentoring relationships with one another because they want to encourage one another to not just be hearers, but to be doers and apply life principles in ways that can change them. The first idea that we need to take with us is we need to build on a foundation of life application. We need to build our lives on a strong foundation of doing, applying what Christ teaches. Here's the second one. In addition to building on a foundation of life application, we need to cultivate certain life experiences. We need to cultivate life experiences that endure through hardship. See, no matter who you are, what your story is, no matter how long you've been a Christian or where you're at on that process of growing into your faith, difficult stuff happens, right? There are hard moments that come our way. There are days when the rain hits. There are days when the wind comes. There are days when we face difficult struggles. You guys know a lot of folks, just even this past week in the life of our church, it's been a rough week. Yesterday, a few of us got together and we celebrated the life of Donna Quisen. Some of you know Donna. She had led our serve teams for a while and just a wonderful, amazing woman. And God calls her home, and her family feels such a deep loss. And this evening and tomorrow, we're actually going to be having a chance to remember Bob Close. Bob passed away on Wednesday night, and he had been sick for a handful of months. And those families are just broken and devastated. Their friends are hurt. And whether the loss that you experience, the difficulty that you experience is the death of a loved one, or it's job trouble, or it's relationship trouble, or it's some emotional struggles that we can go through from time to time. No matter what it is, no matter who you are, we all know that difficult things come our way. And when those difficult things face us, we have a lot better opportunity to navigate through them when we've built patterns that have given us a series of life experiences that have built strength and stability to endure in us. In those difficult moments, the people who have been not just hearers, but doers of God's word are the ones who have the strength to endure. A lot of times I feel like, for me, building those kinds of patterns is, well, it's a lot of work, right? And sometimes instead of doing that, it just feels easier for me to kind of figure it out on my own, right? And I think of myself, you know, I'm pretty quick on my feet, and I can kind of, I don't know, hopefully I can fake it well enough if there's something I'm not really that strong in. And too often we live lives that are built up on something, but, well, they don't have the strong foundation that we see in this text here. You know, there was a time in my life when Carrie and I, we lived in Watertown, South Dakota. Watertown's actually smaller than what you're thinking right now. And it was a little town out on the prairie. You can imagine, huge agriculture community. And when I first got there, I'm a city boy and kind of a gag gift. Somebody gave me a little toy tractor. And the tractor was a John Deere 7820. It said 7820 on the side. And so now I had this piece of information. I knew that there was a model of John Deere tractor that was called a 7820. So whenever I'd strike up a conversation with a farmer, we'd be talking about tractors. If the tractor was green, I knew I could say this. Ready for this? Oh, is that a 7820? And they'd be like, well, no, it's a 4209er. I don't know what they'd say. But they thought for a split second that I knew what I was talking about, right? I had no clue. I could fake it pretty good for about, you know, one line. And they'd tell me something about farming, and I'd nod along. And before they'd know it, they'd figure out that this city boy doesn't know what he's talking about. But I could fake it for a second. I thought this last weekend. Paul was talking about things that he enjoys most in his life. He's talking about his Harley, right? And I think, man, someday I'm going to be a biker. I'm going to order in the gear. They sell it on Amazon, right? I'm going to get me a book about it, maybe a magazine. Maybe one of these guys will let me sneak out in the back and I'll figure out the shifter in the parking lot or something. And there's Paul T and I out on the open road. The wind in our hair. More wind in his hair than mine. How do you think that's going to go when adversity hits? How do you think it's going to go when the wind picks up, when it starts to rain a little bit? Paul's going to be just fine, isn't he? I'm going to be on the side of the road crying. You see, when we're not willing, when we're not able to build a foundation of life experience, when difficult things come our way, it all comes crashing down. When hardship bumps up against us, we have no strength to stand on. And no matter how hard we try to fake it, no matter how hard we try to memorize what we've heard, no matter how much we might hope that we can wing it on our own and be good enough, when adversity comes our way, there's no faking it. There's no facade in hard times. And just like that house that's built on a lousy foundation, and the rain comes and the wind blows, and just like that's a lousy time to try to fix your foundation on a home, it's difficult for us to fix the foundation of our lives in those seasons of hardship. And I think a lot of time we live like this. We do our best to get by. We hope that no one will really see the weaknesses in our lives. We hope that if hardship comes, we'll rise to the occasion, right? But this is the beautiful thing that Christ offers here. He doesn't say hardship won't come your way. But he does say, you don't have to wing it. You don't have to figure it out on your own. You don't have to fake it. You can build a life pattern that has strength to it, that's solid. And no matter what comes your way, you'll be able to endure it. And that brings us to the last idea. You see, friends, we want to build on a foundation of life application. We want to cultivate the life experiences that endure through hardship. And ultimately, we need to avoid the destruction that comes with self-sufficiency. You see, when I trust in myself instead of trusting in Christ, when I rely more fully on my ability to figure it out along the way, instead of relying on doing what Christ calls me to do, destruction hits, hardship hits, and it takes a toll. Verse 27 in our section here says, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, friends, I don't want that to be the story of my life. I don't want that to be how things finish because I was too committed to relying on my own ability. But Christ says there's a better way. Christ says to us that there's a way that we don't have to just hold our lives together as best we can on our own strength. We don't have to just bubble gum and duct tape together some image of what we're trying to be, hoping that it's good enough. But we can build the life patterns that come from the hard work of being doers of God's word. The other day, the girls and I, we snuck off to Cedar Point for the day. And it was one of these hot days, summer days. And, you know, the forecast says it's going to be sunny and hot all day, zero chance of rain. You know how that goes. And this thunderstorm popped up coming off the lake. And we had grabbed some ice cream, and we were in this little pavilion. I don't know. It had kind of a little roof to it. And this was one of these, you know, Lake Erie, raining sideways, thunder, lightning, just tearing up. And that, I mean, that peninsula has no protection at all. I mean, it's, and our pavilion didn't have much more. And we're in there, and it is just pounding, just pounding. It was kind of cool to watch, you know, except for the fact that I was, you know, worried that one of my girls was going to get blown into the lake or something. But that can be true in our lives. And we have no protection because too often we rely on ourselves. But friends, we have a chance to rely on Christ. And when we rely on what Christ speaks into our lives, it goes something deeper than just being a know-it-all. It's something deeper than a guy on a game show with a buzzer who knows all the answers. We have the chance to build lives that are founded on a measure of strength and wholeness that can't be shaken. I want to close with this. I have four ideas that I want you to take with you. Maybe you want to write these down. There are four things that I think each of us can do in response to this verse that I want you to really spend some time with this week and unpack a little bit. And the first one is this. When we hear Christ's words, when we hear Christ's teaching, I think each of us can define specific responses. You see, a lot of times when I hear a lesson like this, or I go to my life group and we talk about something, or I hear something on the radio, the way to apply that can be a little bit ambiguous, right? I say to myself, I want to get better at that, or I want to do more of this. But they aren't specific responses. It's not something that I can do. But the better able I am to really crystallize what it is that God's calling me to do, I have a chance to not just be a hearer, not just be somebody who writes down some thing from my clever little notebook, but I can be a doer. And I can take from that setting and I can live out something that's specific. The first thing that each of us can do is we can define specific responses to what we hear from Christ. The second thing that we can do is we can put ourselves in a community where people will be helping us to be doers. For us, this is our life groups. And I would encourage each and every person here to consider being a part of one of those communities. It's an environment where you don't just hear, but you can do, and you can foster that in the lives of other people. You can go to our webpage, and you can see a list of all of our life groups. You can email the group leader, learn a little bit more about that. Maybe you can get involved there. The other thing that we love to help people do is to start groups of their own. People say, oh, I'm not Billy Graham, I'm not Doc, I can't lead a life group. To heck you can't. What we do each and every week in our groups is we go through a defined curriculum that's based off of the sermons. If you show up at a sermon on the weekend and you can read a couple of discussion questions and you're nice, you can do this. If you're not nice, no one's gonna come to your group anyway, so you might as well give it a try, okay? You're in like 3 months and you're like, Pastor Dom, I'm the only person who shows up. Yeah. That's because you're a jerk. No, I'm kidding. kidding. Seriously, we believe that that's an environment that helps us grow. We believe that we can equip each and every person in our church to build those kinds of meaningful relationships. You're going to hear more about this as we get closer to fall. But we are absolutely sold out in creating environments that foster people to actually do what Christ teaches. Define specific responses, right? Be a part of a group. The third one is acknowledge your insufficiency. You see, when I acknowledge that I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not capable enough to fake it, it's a lot easier to be patient through hard times. It's a lot easier to rely on Christ. It's a lot easier to be committed to doing what he teaches us because I know the alternatives aren't going to work. But when I try to fool myself, when I try to tell myself that I'm clever enough to figure this out on my own, it doesn't go well. Friends, each of us has the chance to acknowledge our shortcomings and in those, lean more into the goodness of Christ. The last idea, the fourth one. In those moments when, by God's grace, you've built strength, you've built a foundation by being a doer of God's word, and the people around you are struggling, the people around you are getting beaten up by that storm, friends, we have a chance to lend our strength to others in need. We have a chance to, out of a strong foundation that Christ has built in us, to be a source of strength and hope and encouragement for those in need. And it would be my hope that our church would be filled with people who trust Christ in a meaningful way, who hear the words that he shares and aren't content just to be hearers, but are doers. And because of that, our lives are founded in something strong, something whole, something genuine. And we would be like that wise man in this story. We would be able to make a difference in the lives of people around us. Sound like a good idea? Let's do it. Let me say a prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much that you speak truth into our lives through the words of Christ. Heavenly Father, I'm first to admit that far too often Christ's words are just the fluff that I use to make myself look good or feel better, instead of being the sound, whole foundation that I'm applying to my life. God, help me. Help me to not be content to just hear, but help me to be a doer. Help each and every one of us to build a strong foundation that comes from doing what Christ is calling us to do. Help us to rely more fully on Him. And as we walk in the truth of your grace, might we have the strength to face anything that comes our way. Help us through those difficult moments. Help us to experience who you are in ways that are lasting and have impact and display genuine wisdom. And we'll thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.